With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Compared to the fourth quarter, these are happy days on Wall Street with the S&P 500 up more than 10%. But investors have learned their lesson from past market downturns, and they're seeking smart places to invest. We've got a few ideas. That's coming up. First, these money and market stories you should know. A report from actuaries at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says healthcare spending in the U.S. is expected to accelerate over the next 8 years as baby boomers age and the prices for medical services grow, and that's likely to further shine the spotlight on healthcare as a significant issue in the 2020 election. Healthcare's share of the economy is projected to climb to 19.4% by 2027 from about 18%. In 2017, and spending is likely to grow because of new drugs on the market, more seniors who will need hospital care, and an expanded Medicare population that will drive demand for clinical services and doctors. And the Wall Street Journal Real Estate Bureau focuses on one of the wealthiest streets in the Northeast, a stretch of 11th Street in Manhattan between West 4th Street and Bleecker Street that's home to celebrities like actress Sarah Jessica Parker and actress Liv Tyler. Parker and her husband, actor Matthew Broderick, bought a double-wide property on the block in 2016 for $34.5 million. Now, two doors down from Parker is a $27 million property owned by Sprint CEO Marcelo Clore. Real estate agents cite no ground-level retail as an alluring factor of the area, since it limits foot traffic. The brownstone-lined stretch of West 11th Street is anchored on one side by Magnolia Bakery, made famous on Sex and the City, and a high-end bookstore founded by fashion designer Marc Jacobs. After a rough fourth quarter, the S&P 500 is up 11% so far in 2019. That's good news for investors, but it hasn't chipped away at the need to find safe places to put money in case of another steep downturn. Perhaps an ETF or exchange-traded fund that tilts away from too much risk is the solution. And Wall Street Journal reporter Ajlan Loder is here with details. So Ajlan, ETF issuers, as you write in your story, have been trying for some time to attract cost-conscious customers. And last quarter's downturn seemed to jumpstart that effort.
Definitely. ETF issuers have been trying for a while to get people to buy into strategic beta or smart beta, or whatever you want to call it. And these are funds that they might try to invest based on a factor like momentum or value or quality. In this instance, what investors seem to be flocking to are funds that attempt to pick less volatile stocks, which would help in a turbulent market.
And a few ETFs with a profile that could be seen as being safe by some, they've seen their holdings rise to record highs.
I wouldn't call them safe. The idea is that they invest in some of the stocks that have been less volatile. It doesn't necessarily make them safe, but they've outperformed the broader market over the past year, and they certainly did in the fourth quarter as well, which is why it's really gotten them on the radar. But if you look so far this year, because the market's up, two of the more popular ETFs are lagging the S&P 500.
And these ETFs with less volatility, they've been around for a while. They weren't created in response to the downturn. Is that right?
This concept of factor investing has been around for a while, and these ETFs have been around for years. It's just that they came on the market during one of the longest bull runs in history. So people haven't really seen a need to think about their downside risk in quite some time. And last year really changed that mindset.
And it's important to note that not all ETFs have a safe or less volatile feel to them. Many have a healthy dose of risk.
They all do. These are equity ETFs. It's important to remember that these aren't billed as safe or even safer. They're billed as attempting to pick the lower volatility stocks, those that are less turbulent. People think volatility equals risk. That's not necessarily the case.
So it sounds like it's really important for investors to do their homework here and to focus on the volatility profile of funds that they choose.
Yeah, these are constructed in different ways, and it's important to look under the hood. And it's also important to remember that this is U.S. equity market exposure. The two funds that we look at here both buy many of the same stocks that are in the S&P 500 or in the MSCI U.S. index. The hope is that by selecting stocks that are predicted to be or have been less volatile in the past, that you'll get a smoother ride. But that could also mean you miss out on some of the gains in an up market, and it doesn't completely wipe away any risks. This is the stock market.
Well, there are a lot more details to the story. You can check them out in Ajlan's story on WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Ajlan, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.